Hebrews chapter number 10. Give you a few moments there to find your place. I'm glad we still have liberty and freedom to be able to come to the house of God. Have a Bible in our hand. Amen. I wonder, do we understand how important the word faithful means? I wonder this morning, do we understand just what it means to be faithful? Now, I understand, before we read the Scripture, I understand that everybody can't preach. And I know everybody can't be certain things and do certain things. I understand that. But everybody that's saved can be faithful to God's will for your life. Everybody in here can be faithful. In fact, the Bible says that it is required that stewards be found faithful. God is looking for that one quality in our life, to be faithful. God is not looking for us to outdo others. God is not looking for us to compete with others. God is not looking for us to compare ourselves to other people. God is looking for us to be faithful. He's looking for us to be faithful to the general will of God, which is the will of God for me and you, such as sanctification. 1 Thessalonians talks about this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That is a general will of God. That's generalized. That's for every saved person. God will never look at any saved person and say, nah, you don't have to be holy. God will never look at any saved person, if you've been saved 5 seconds or 50 years or more, God will never look at anybody and say, well, you're excluded with that. That's the general will. That applies to everybody. And then there's specific will. That is the specific or personal will of God. Things that God wants you to do, that God calls you to do, that God is leading you to do. That is the Lord's will for you, and to be faithful to that. And that's one thing I believe is going to carry a lot of weight at the judgment seat. Have we been faithful? Have we been faithful? I want to ask you these questions before we even read the Scripture here this morning. How important would you think faithfulness is concerning your job? I wonder how many of us would consider faithfulness to be important to your job. I wonder how many of us would be even have a job if we was not faithful. And what I want to go through this list and show you is that every aspect of your life hinges on faithfulness. Everything about your life, and I'm only going to mention a few of these things, but every area of your life is conditioned by faithfulness, such as your job. Not only on the employer part, but on the employee part. Amen? I mean, if you're an employee and there's not faithfulness on the employer's part, how many of you would you have a job if you went there tomorrow and there's a sign on the door, sorry, we didn't make it today? And you go back again 2 or 3 days later and there's a sign. Sorry, we just didn't get up and we wanted to go fishing today and so we just thought we'd close the plant down and you don't get paid. Y'all wouldn't do that long. You'd be looking elsewhere. Alright? That's on the employer part. What about on the employee part? If you didn't show up for work, a few days, you're going to be, just in a very, very short period of time, you're going to be in the unemployment line. Amen. Because they cannot get the job done with unfaithful people. Faithfulness is in every part of your life. And we could use that scenario of the job on further. What about this, Eric? What about this? What about your house utilities? How important is it for faithfulness to be in the electrical world? Some of you wouldn't be here this morning. No correction. Some of us would not be here this morning if there wasn't faithfulness with our utilities. Amen? Because that would mean the water wouldn't work. And that would mean no bath. And that would mean stink. And that would be bad for fellowship. Amen. I mean, what if the water was on this an hour now and not on the rest of the day, and tomorrow it might or it may be on or it might not be on, and I mean, how many of you would put up with that? Don't get ahead of me now. How many would put up with that? If you had the power company, you didn't know whether if you got up in the morning the lights was going to come on or not. You didn't know if the heater was going to be working or not. You didn't know if the air conditioner was going to be working or not. I mean, you would do something. You would go into putting solar panels on your house and buying you a generator. Well, that run off of gas. I started to say run off electricity. That wouldn't work. Amen. But I'm just showing you the importance in every facet of your life. Faithfulness is there with your job. Faithfulness is there with the house utilities. I guarantee you, if you go home today and your power goes out, my son, he works at a dispatcher at Holst Electric, and when the power goes out in certain sections, the phone rings off the hook. I mean, Brother Jeff, the husband don't look at the wife and say, you know, honey, the power's out. We'll call next week. We'll get around to calling, finding out what the problem is or reporting it. We'll call tomorrow. No need to get no rush. I mean, our refrigerator's not working. Our freezer's not working. You know, heater's not working. Air conditioner's not working. Lights are not working. Let's not worry about it. We'll call later. No. When you see that, you call. Amen? Why? Because you're used to it. You're used to that dependability. You're used to that faithfulness. You're used to that faithfulness. You're used to counting on flipping the switch and the light come on. You're used to, come on now, turning the faucet and the water coming out. You're used to that. Why? You're building your whole life around faithfulness. I thought about this. School. Miss Paul Sue works at school. How many others work at school? Miss Sherry's going to kindergarten. I mean, she's working at school. How many of my others? Miss Donna? We've got some more hands coming up back here. What about school? Do they require faithfulness on the students? Hello? What happens if a student misses a lot of school? They're going to get in trouble. Somebody's going to be accountable for that. Why? They know, even the school system knows, that in order to educate your child, there's got to be an element of faithfulness. There's got to be an element of faithfulness on the part of that child. What about if your parents sent your child to school and the bus didn't run, or the school had the paper on the door saying, well, we're closed today. And it was just a hit or miss. No dependability, no predictability. It's just hit or miss. Of course, the kids would love that. They'd shout over that unfaithfulness, but they'd be dumb as a box of rocks. Amen? Brother Mark, they probably would say 2 + 2 = 6. Amen? But the school system, I mean, listen, parents can get in trouble for that. I mean, kids laying out of school, being unfaithful to school, can get in trouble for that. Take my word for that. And I'm not going to explain that. Amen. What about your automobile? How many of you would leave an automobile in your driveway that started developing a testimony of unfaithfulness? It may or may not crank. It may or may not run. It may or may not get past the mailbox. Huh? I mean, how many of you would put up with that? Why? You have got, and I have got to have a vehicle that is faithful, that is dependable, that we don't have to worry about it every 5 minutes. Is it going to run? Say amen right there. So I'm just showing you these areas the Lord showed me, that our whole life is just completely attached to faithfulness. Every way we turn, there's faithfulness attached to our life. What about marriage? All of us know of marriages that crumbled due to unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. Amen. That's right. How many of you ladies would put up with a husband unfaithful? How many husbands would put up with a wife unfaithful? The answer to that in all of cases probably would be no. No.
Amen. Do we need to spell that? No. Amen.
I'm telling you, unfaithfulness will kill a marriage. Unfaithfulness will destroy a home. Unfaithfulness. And so marriage literally is built upon faithfulness. Trust, dependability, counting on the other mate, not having to worry about it. Amen? Faithfulness. What about this? What about creation? How many went to bed last night wondering if the sun was going to come up this morning? How many is coming into the end of the fall, getting ready to face winter, wondering if we're going to skip winter and just go straight into spring? Or maybe not in spring. Maybe this thing's all out of kilter, and all of a sudden, instead of going out of fall, we're just going to go into another fall. No, the seasons are faithful. Daytime and nighttime, faithful. I mean, you can set your clocks by it. Calendar, faithful. Month in, month out. Day in, day out, faithful. Are you listening? That's right. I'm talking about creation. Everywhere you look, there is, in creation, it is faithful. Why? Because there is a faithful Creator behind creation. There is a faithful Creator that keeps things in operation. Amen. And He doesn't have to get up because He don't take a nap. Amen. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. But He does not have to look at the sun every day and say, alright, it's time. He doesn't have to look at the moon and say, it's time. He doesn't have to look at spring and say, it's time. Summer, it's time. Fall, it's time. No, back when He created the worlds, He spoke all of that into existence and gave it its course and gave it its responsibility. He doesn't have to keep telling it over and over and over. Do it. I said to do it. I said to do it. No, He said it once. And the Son has been being obedient for these thousands of years. I know the atheist evolutionist bunch say billions of years, but that won't hold water. I'm talking about creation. Creator. I mean, faithfulness. What about the physical body? Would it be any problem, Brother Silas, if your brain wasn't faithful? I mean, listen, let's just really go out. Would it really be a problem if your heart was not faithful? Would it be a problem if your kidneys weren't faithful? What about your involuntary muscles that's operating while you're asleep? You're not saying breathe. You're in a coma, amen, and you're breathing. Why? Because God even put into you physically the necessity of faithfulness. And when things starts getting into the physical body and starts complicating the faithfulness, then that's when problems really start coming in. So every way, I've just mentioned a few, but every way you turn, faithfulness is attached to your life. It's in our life. You can't live without it. It's around you. It is in you. But here's where we're going, and some of you know it. There's faithfulness in creation. There's faithfulness in the physical. There's faithfulness with the job. There's faithfulness required in the marriage. There's faithfulness with school. There's faithfulness, my friend, on every area of our life. But then when it comes to the spiritual. Hello, come on now. We're faithful to eat. Come on, I have a good habit of it. I like it. I plan to do it today more than once. It's a part of, why? Because we got a diet for that. We got a desire for that. Huh? And how many is faithful with your eating? Hey man. I mean, you're faithful. You're gonna eat. But the thing is, faithfulness is important in our life, every aspect, but then when it comes into the spiritual, instead of that being faithful, we just kind of treat that as convenient. What about our devotions? What about our devotions? God gave us the Bible. God gave us His Word, and it is words to be read. It is words to be lived by. It is our road map of life. It is. It's the library of wisdom for life's choices, and it is God's Word. But how many of us will go days and never read it? I'm talking about faithfulness in all those other areas is important. But when it comes to being faithful in the spiritual realm, we're flip-flopping around. We treat it as convenience. Now I'd say this, if most people treated their marriage as they do church attendance, they would be divorced. If most people, y'all might as well not get too quiet. Most people, if they treat their church attendance or treat their job like they do church, they'd be unemployed already. If they paid their utility bills like they go to church, they'd not have no water. They'd not have any electricity. Amen. It'd all be cut off. Everything about it be cut off. Amen. If most people treated their car and area of maintenance and upkeep like they do church attendance and their spiritual upkeep, they would have a car broke down in the driveway or on the side of the road most of the time. Amen. Amen. Oh, we're going to have a time. I can feel it. But I'm talking about how important that faithfulness is in our life. You say, it don't matter. Okay. I'll go, you got a good car. I'll go find an old clunker, pay about $50 for it. Probably won't run. Probably wouldn't even get to the mailbox, and I'll just trade you. You got a good car. I'll trade it. It's not important. Amen. Probably won't crank, but faithfulness is not important to you, so we'll just get you a clunker. Huh? Say amen right there. Faithfulness is not really important, so next time the power is out at your house, don't call in. Faithfulness is not important in any of these other areas, so don't worry about it. No, faithfulness is important in these areas. Say amen right there. Hello? I'm still preaching. In fact, just getting started. But faithfulness is important. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, let's start in verse 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Oh, the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is what? Oh, can we stop and shout about Him being faithful? You don't have to ever wonder, God, are you going to do what you said? God, are you going to line up with your word? Or God, are you going to keep what you said? And you know, you don't have to worry about that. Because I believe it was Timothy said that even when we are not faithful, yet He abideth faithful. Oh, I can't brag on my faithfulness. No, and you can't either. I tell you what, we can brag upon the faithfulness of God. Oh, I like that. I like that verse. Even when we are not faithful, yet He, I like this word, abideth faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His holy name. He said, for He is faithful that promised. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe it's very evident that I'm preaching this morning on faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful in every area. And many times we let the spiritual go. And when we talk about the spiritual, that has a lot of ingredients in it. That has a lot of components in it. That deals with your devotions, your reading of the Word of God, your praying, and on. You could go with that. Your church attendance and giving to God what belongs to Him, and on. That goes. We have in verse number 25 a command given from the Lord about being faithful to church. Now if you'll notice in this verse of Scripture, there is a connection between the assembly, which is the first part of the verse, and the appearing of Christ, the latter part of the verse. Because the day approaching referred to in this verse is referring to the coming of the Lord. That day is approaching. It is nigh at hand. We are on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. It could happen before I'm done preaching this morning. It could happen at any second. Are you ready? Are you ready? But I noted that the Bible says not forsaking the assembly. And then in the latter part of the verse it said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there's a connection in this verse of Scripture between the assembly, the assembling of ourselves together, or going to church, and the coming of the Lord. There's a connection. You'd have to just be purposefully ignorant to not see that in that verse. There's a connection there. The closer you get to going to heaven, the more we need church. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. We need more church, not less of church. Not less of church. We need more of church. We need more of the Bible. We need more, my friend, of the spiritual than ever before. Why? Because the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the darker it's going to get in our world. The more tempting sin is going to be. The more attractive sin is. That, my friend, the devil is going to start throwing the fiery darts and the big guns at us. Someone said it right, 7 days without church makes 1 week. Not a week of days, but week in strength. Amen. But I'm interested in this verse of Scripture dealing with the subject of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I know first of all, in this verse of Scripture, I noticed number one, and it's very evident to see it, I think, in this verse of Scripture, that it's very evident to note that the Father expects us to be faithful. Do you think that God would tell us to do something and then not expect us to do it? Do you think God would say, thou shalt not steal, and expect us to not steal? And not expect us to not steal? What He says, He expects. He knows our limitations. He knows our boundaries. He knows that we're but flesh. He knows that we're but dust. What the Bible says, He does know that. He knows how frail that I am. But yet still, He says to me, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. So the Father expects this to happen. Now I want to tell you, going to church, I don't go to church to please... Now listen to me now. I don't go to church ultimately to please you. You're a vital part of the reason why I go to church. I'll just be honest, and that's in the Scripture, on down in the verse. You are a vital part as to why I come, not only on the giving part, but on the receiving part of the exhorting that's to go on in the house of God. But I want to tell you, the ultimate reason why I go to church is, my friend, to please my Father. It is the will of God for my life. It's a command given from the Lord. And listen, you don't listen, Rogersville, Hawkins County is filled with people that never go to church, but they'll tell you quickly they're saved.
They have no desire to go to church. They have no desire, my friend, to assemble with God's people. I don't understand that. I just cannot get that in my brain, in my head. My friend, why would anybody not want to go to church? I just can't get a hold of that. Now, I'm not talking about if they're bedfast and paralyzed or all, stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about can go. I'm talking about just allowing other things to take its place. I'm talking about putting the church and going to the house of God and spiritual things, you know, in the secondary and allow secondary things to become the primary. Amen. I tell you, if we treated church with the same importance as we treat other things, my friend, we would have a house full this morning and we'd have revival. Amen. I'm telling you, sinners are never want. I mean, it's not natural for a sinner to get up on Sunday morning and say, you know what, I believe I want to go to church. It's just not natural for a sinner to want to go to church. It's just not. Amen. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. And what goes on in the house of God at least ought to be spiritual. Amen. Most churches have taken God away from the spiritual emphasis in their church because it's not attracting people. And so they've thrown away the spiritual. They have very little preaching anymore. They have very little gospel singing anymore. They brought in this thump and bump junk, amen, and got a so-called preacher that just gets up and gives a little talk, amen, on whatever subject, and has an enormous amount of activities, and I'm not against that, but if that's your purpose of attracting folk and keeping folk, I believe the ultimate thing is that God wants His church built on the spiritual. If you've got a church that's built on the Word of God, you've got a strong church. If you've got a church that's built on worship, you've got a strong church. If you've got a church that's interested in the work of God, you've got a strong church. Amen. I'll tell you, if you have to do some little trick to get them in, you'll have to keep doing cartwheels to keep them in. Amen. And I want to tell you, if they'll get in saved by the grace of God, amen, I'll tell you, they're going to preach it. It'll do the job. I guarantee you, there's folks say you can't build a church today on preaching. Amen. But I want to tell you, I believe if God's people will get serious about it, and realize how important it is, and that one day we'll be held accountable for it because God expects it out of us. God expects it out of us. If He said it, He expects it. Amen. Let's get that in our heads this morning and in our hearts this morning. If God put Hebrews 10:25 in the Word of God, He expects His children, my friend, to do so. Now, I'm not going to go deal with my testimony right here because I've told it several times. I don't mind telling it because it's real to me. Now, I left home over this going to church stuff. I ran away from home over that. So what I'm preaching this morning, I lived it. I know what it is to rebel. I know what it is to not want to go to church. I know what it is, my friend. I wonder how many would not be here this morning if you weren't made. I wonder how many young people wouldn't even be here this morning if your parents hadn't woke you up. Amen. I wonder how many husbands or wives wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't have a mate that was just kept prodding. Let's go. Let's get with it. It's time to get up. Let's go. Let's go. Church and it's starting 10 o'clock. Let's get with it. Amen. Come on now. I promise you, nobody has to pull and prompt and prime on me to get me up on Sunday morning. Amen. Because there's God. When I got saved, amen. When I got saved, God put it in my heart to go to the house of God. I don't go to church, my friend, to be saved. I go because I am saved. I go because that's where my family's at. I go because that crowd that's heaven bound, that's where they're going to be at. I want to go rub shoulders with that heaven bound crowd. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Sure. Thank God. Amen. Oh, I can't tell you the times I've been helped at the house of God. I can't tell you the times I've drug in, but then I went leaping out. I can't tell you the times that I come in despair, but I left out in the air. I can't tell you the times that I've come to the house of God and I got helped. Amen. Thank God for church. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory! Thank God for church. Jesus loved it enough to die for it. I think we ought to love it enough to go to it. Amen. Yes, amen. The Father expects it. Amen. The Father expects it. Amen. I think really your spirituality can be measured by what it takes to keep you from going to church. Are you listening? Amen. We've all been offended. You've been offended. I've been offended. You will not go through this life without being offended. But don't let offenses keep you from God's commandments. God says, go, go. God says, do, do. Somebody makes you mad, get right. You get hurt, get healed up, amen. But keep doing right. How many people don't go to church because they say, well, so-and-so, I got offended. So-and-so made me mad. Somebody hurt me. Or whatever. Or they did this at church. Or they didn't do that at church. Well, you keep going to Walmart. Has everybody been completely 100% satisfied with Walmart? Negative. How many times you went in there, Brother Jim, saying, I can't believe these prices. I'll never come back. How many times you went by the gas pumps and it said such and such per gallon and you thought, well, I'll get some when I come out and come back out and it's 5 cents higher. Yeah. I'll go somewhere else. Yeah. Have you been 100% satisfied with your job? No. No. I guarantee you there's been all kinds of things on the job make you mad, upset, what they do or not do and all that kind of stuff. What are you going to do? Quit? No, you get up and keep going. Amen. Amen. That's right. But just sure somebody gets a little miffed at the house of God, they pull in their wings. Amen. And they say, well, I tell you what, I've got a good excuse. I'm not going to church no more. No, friend, that'll never hold water at the judgment seat of Christ for a saved person. Negative. The Father expects it. Not forsaking. That is, don't leave it. Don't leave it in straits. Don't leave it helpless. Don't desert it. I talked to a man one time. He hadn't been to church in a while down in North Carolina. And I said to him, I said, we've been missing you at church. And he said, well, you know, and he'd give me this lame excuse, which most of the time that's the case. And I said, you know, I said, the Bible says not forsaking this. He said, oh, I haven't forsaken the church. Hadn't been forever. But he said, I've not forsaken the church. I said, help me, Lord. I'm praying in my spirit. I said, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. I don't know how to answer this. I hadn't been saved too long. I said, help me, Lord. Help me, though. Oh, help me, Lord. And boy, there in just a matter of a second, Lord brought it back to my mind. The Bible says here, not forsaking. It said not to forsake. It says not forsaking with an ing, which is an ongoing. I said, if you miss one church service that you could have been there and should have been there, you are already in the process of forsaking the house of God. Of course, that didn't set well too well with him, amen. But it's the truth, amen. Oh yes, not forsaking. RBT will never be reach its potential and never be what it ought to be if we've got unfaithful people. No way. You can't have a church on unfaithful people. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of it. I mean, we all know we've got members that haven't been here in weeks. And they're not sick. And they're not on long-term vacation. Are you listening? You can't build a church on that. Sinners come in the house of God and they wonder where you're at. Well, amen. The word forsaking is in the present tense. Mean right now. Not what you've been doing or planning to do. It's what's going on right now. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now don't get mad at me. Now I'm preaching the Word. Now if I get out of the Word, you just have the right to come in and say, preach, I don't, what about that right there? What about that verse? What do you mean by that? Feel free to do that. Now I'm going to try to stand the book. Amen. The word church is the word ecclesia. Everybody knows that pretty much. Everybody. You do now anyway. The word, it's the Greek word ecclesia. And it is the called out assembly.
That's what the very definition of the word church. It is the called out assembly. It's where the called out bunch assembles. It's where the called out crowd assembles. I know going to church don't make you a Christian no more than going into a hospital makes you a doctor. I know that. But I want to tell you that that called out crowd, my friend, goes to church if they possibly can. Amen. Y'all might as well say amen right there. Thank God for being a part of the called out crowd. I remember when I was that in crowd with that out crowd. That was my crowd. I spent the time with them and made plans, Brother Darrell, to be involved in their activities. That, thank God, Brother Craig, January 20th, 1981, I got called O-U-T out. I got called out. I got took out. God changed my desires. God changed my nature. God give me a new nature. Amen. God give me new desire, new direction. And that out crowd now is that. It's the out crowd. I've been called out. That called out assembly. A good sign that you've never been called out is you still fit in with that crowd. Good sign you've never been called out is you still not only fit in with that crowd, but you still wanting to pattern your life after them. You're more interested in them being, you being like them than them being like you. And oh, God help us to know that by the very term church, that we're that called out crowd. The called out assembly. Amen. And Hebrews 10:25 is not a suggestion. Hebrews 10:25 is not a recommendation. It is a command. Amen. Let me ask you something right here. This is good. I may not get done this morning, but let me just ask you this right here. How important do you think the knots are with God? Do y'all think thou shalt not kill is important? Especially if you would be on the receiving end of that. What about thou shalt not steal? Think that's important? Think that not is important? Especially if you're on the receiving end of that? Hello? I want to show you the first mention of that word not in the New Testament. And that just to show you how important God's knots are. Look at, or I'll just give it to you. Matthew 1:19. Matthew 1:19. Now listen to it. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, here comes the first knot mentioned in the New Testament, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The second time it's used is Matthew 2:12, and being warned of God in a dream that they, that is the wise men, should not return to Herod, and they departed in their own country another way. How important is the knots of God? How important was those two right there? What if Joseph had not had that knot in his thought and heart and plans about dealing with Mary? At that time, the penalty for adultery was they'd be stoned to death. So if Joseph, my friend, had not had that knot there in his plans and in his heart, you know, it would affect it actually Jesus. What about the wise men? When they went and found Jesus, you know, Herod sent them and said, go find him and bring me word again, you know, that I can go worship him also. And God sent an angel and said, don't do that. Don't, you know, put that knot in there. Not return to Herod. Not return. What would happen if he'd have brought him words? Well, hey, we know where he's at. He's at such and such address. Would that affect Jesus? If we don't listen to the knots of Jesus, of God's Word, it ultimately affects Jesus. It ultimately affects Jesus. They're simply saying this morning, the Father expects it. There's an expectation for God's declarations. Listen, you say, but preacher, it's just tough. It's just hard. It's just tough. Preacher, that pillow feels wonderful on Sunday morning. And if you're ever going to go in a coma taking a nap, it'll be on Sunday evening. Isn't that the truth? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, buddy, I'm talking out of this world. Wake up and don't even know where you're at hardly. Huh? Amen. But you said, preacher, I just can't do it. I just can't get up early enough. Oh, is that right? Got to punch a clock at 7 o'clock and can't be at Sunday school? Oh, no. It's not a matter of can't. It's a matter of won't do. But here's what the Bible says for you that may think it's so tough. Y'all ready? 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God. Okay? For this is the love of God. It's fixing to tell us, Brother Silas. Do we want to know? Do we want to know what the love of God is? And actually this verse is the love for God. And also the love from God. Do we want to know about that? Here it is. Y'all ready? For this is the love of God that we keep His commandments. Oh! You mean to tell me, preacher, that God attaches my affection to His Word? If I don't keep His Word, then it shows that I don't love Him the way that I should. That's what it's meaning. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Are y'all ready for this? And His commandments are not grievous. It won't grieve you to do what God says. That word grievous has the idea of being weighted down. Amen. See, God's commandments don't weight you down. God's commandments don't burden you down. God's commandments is freedom. Doing what God says. My friend, God says it's not grievous. Doing what God said will never dampen your spiritual life. Doing what God said will never deaden your spiritual life. Doing what God said will delight your spiritual life. It's not grievous. Now that's what God says. His commandments are never given in light of convenience. Well, I want you, this is my will, do it, unless you see that it's inconvenient. No. His commandments are never convenient, are not based on convenience. His commandments are not based on, my friend, on really what's best for, what's best for your finances, or what's best for your other areas of life, what's best for you spiritually. God's commandments is His best for you. God's commandments, His best for you. Amen? Amen. That's good. He says, do or don't. It's for your good and His glory. Amen. Christianity without church is not taught in the Word of God. You can go to the early chapters of the book of Acts and you can find out when they got saved, God added them to the church. Daily, such as should be saved. Amen. Amen. By the way, it's the church that's doing the work of God. It's the church today that's doing the work of God. Amen. So why not be a part of it? It seemed to me like I'd want to be a part of something that's doing the work of God, doing the will of God. Amen. That's right. But the Father is expecting it. Amen. That's right. Well, we could say more about that. Some people say, preach, I belong to the church, but I don't go to a church. You ever heard that? Yeah. You don't have to visit much, you'll hear that. They say, well, preacher, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the invisible church. I don't have to go to a visible church. I'm a part of the spiritual church, so I don't have to go to a local church. You heard that? I've heard it numerous times. Now, that's one time you've heard me say this. They said they belong to the church, but not a church, and they're part of the invisible church. I said, well, who's your invisible pastor? Y'all have invisible deacons. You take up invisible offerings for invisible missionaries. Amen. I was born in the morning, but not yesterday morning. Amen. That's right. Local church is a vital part. Nine New Testament books was written to local churches. I mean, the whole book was written to local churches. Churches of Galatia, churches of Corinth. Are you listening? Right on down the line. Chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, 7 churches of Asia Minor. Those were local churches. You say, well, I ought to stay at the house. I ought to go to church at my house. That's not scriptural. You say, oh, but the book of Philemon says that they had that church in their house. That's why it said that, because that's where the church was being started. My home church in Roswell, North Carolina, actually started in my mom and daddy's basement. Victor Baptist Church actually started in mom and daddy's basement. Amen? That's the only time the home church is the will of God. Now, listen, you'll run across that. You'll run across this home church stuff. They'll say, well, I'm not going to church. We just have church at the house. Yeah, right. That's right. That's not scriptural. Unless you're starting a church. If you're starting a church, then get it announced. Let it be known that your house is the assembly point. As the assembly. Does everybody know that that's where the assembly's at? Amen. Even in the Old Testament, Acts chapter 7 and verse 38 refers to the tabernacle in the wilderness, and the children of Israel going through the wilderness referred to that as the church in the wilderness. Did you know that even they had a tabernacle? They had a local place that they went to worship. Amen. And it's still that way. Well, anyway, let's move on. Not only is there the expectation of the Father or the Father's expectancy for me to keep this, for me to be faithful, the house of God. Amen. Some of you's looking a little wormy right now. Just get right about it. If you're not careful, here's what's going to happen, and I'm going to deal with this next point. Where it not only goes from the Father's expectancy in this verse, but then it goes to the few that's erring. Look what it says. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, here it is, as the manner of some is. There's few that's erring. Don't pattern your life after the few. Don't use the few as an excuse for you. Don't look around and say, well, you know what? This family's not here, and that one don't come half the time, and this one don't come half the time, so I don't have to come half the time. Looks to me like you're looking for a reason not to come. Amen? I just remind you that there's only a few that's that way. That there are some that's going to be faithful. There are some that's going to be faithful to the house of God. There is. And I want to say thank you for all of you that's been faithful to the house of God. I thank you for that. But there's the few that are like that. There are the few. It says, as the matter of some is. There's some that's not going to be faithful. They're just not. But here's the thing you better watch out for. Is building a habit and a pattern. Miss one service, be easier to miss two services. Miss two services, be next time easier to miss three services. Miss Sunday school, be easier to miss it Sunday school next week. Miss Sunday school this week, next week, be easier to add a Wednesday night in there. If you're not careful, you'll develop a pattern. You will develop a habit. And a habit prevented is a lot easier to deal with than a habit to be broken. Amen. You get used to staying away. Get used to being unfaithful. And I want to tell you, that'll be very hard for you to break. And I want to say to you young people that may be looking in the future for a mate, you better look at their relationship to church. If they're unfaithful to church, they'll probably not pay their water bill either. If they're unfaithful to church, they probably won't pay the power bill. If they're unfaithful to church, they probably won't hold down a job. You'll have to keep his hind end up, you young girls. That's right. Amen. I'm telling you, unfaithfulness to church ought to be a standard. You ought to be able to look at the character of a person by their relationship with the house of God. Amen. Amen. You'll have to take it up with the Lord, all I know. As the manner of some is. That, in fact, the word habit is the definition of that word as the manner of some is. That word manner means custom or habit. Well, if you get a habit of not reading the Bible, you better watch it. It'll bite you. Get a habit of not praying. Get a habit of not going to church. Get a habit of not giving your tithes, supporting missionaries. Get a habit of not praying. If you're not careful, brother, it'll become a habit. And a habit, friend, will control your life. So there is the Father's expectancy. Then there's the few that's erring. You ought to ask yourself this question today. What kind of church would my church be if everyone in it was just like me? What if everybody went like I went? Everybody prayed like I prayed, and everybody did what I do, and everybody gave what I give, and everybody read how much I read, and what kind of church would my church be if everybody in it was just like me? Would we have a church? Would we have a church? Would we have to put paper on the door and say, well, didn't have church this morning, nobody showed up?
Hey, I wish I had a camera right back here videoing over my shoulder. Amen. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged by or influenced by the few that's erring. And I'll just tell you as a pastor, nothing bothers me any worse than unfaithfulness. I'm telling you, it grieves me so bad. A lot of times getting in this pulpit, it is a prayer, buddy, to have any victory to preach when I knew people's laying out. Boy, it burns me, especially when I know God's really burning a message in my heart. So there's the Father who's expecting sin. There is the few that is erring. Amen. And then number three, there is the fellowship that's exhorting. Look what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's why you go to church, exhorting one another. I get it, and I'm to give it. I get exhorted when I come to church, supposed to, and I'm supposed to be doing some of it. Amen? Not everybody goes to church is on the level you're on. Amen? If you're up, you need to look around. Somebody around you is down, and you need to exhort that person. Be sensitive to other people in the church. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Not sit back and try to just be their judge, but be sensitive. Let the Holy Spirit impress you. This person needs a kind word. This person here needs a smile. This person needs a handshake. This person needs a pat on the back. This person, amen? Be sensitive in that area and exhort one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. The fellowship that's exhorting. Amen. Now this, nowhere in the Bible are you told to exhort yourself. That is a one another ministry. That is to be done by others. And you are to do to others. Amen. Amen. I believe this, and I've preached this for nearly 30 years. I've preached this. I'm telling you. You can gauge a lot of your spiritual life, where you're at, what level you're on, what direction you're going in, by your relationship to and your interest in, your desire for the house of God. I believe that. When your desire starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller toward the things of God at the house of God, I guarantee there are other spiritual areas of your life that's collapsing as well. Listen, I'm serious about it. I'm trying to drive home the point. It's hard to not be, if you're unfaithful to church, I'd say you're probably unfaithful in your devotions. I think that's a given. If you're unfaithful to the house of God, I'm about to guarantee you, you're unfaithful in your scriptural giving. I guarantee you, if you're unfaithful to the house of God, I guarantee you're unfaithful in the area of purity and holiness and sanctification and separation. Guarantee it. That is a standard, friend. There's a standard there. Amen. So there's fellowship that's exhorting. I need you. I do. I'm telling you, I need you. I need you. Amen. Now I can say this as a preacher. You can kill me or you can bless me. That's the truth. Amen. Unfaithfulness kills me. I mean, it grieves me. No, I'm listening. I don't want to keep having to defend myself. I'm not talking about people that's just absolutely physically just, I mean, in a mess. I mean, Miss Stapleton, she's not been able to come in 2 or 3 years or longer. She can't even get out of the bed. You understand? I'm not that narrow-minded, but I am talking about people that willfully lays out of the house of God. Amen? I wonder this morning how many would have showed up here if the word had got out this week. I'd have sent out an ERBT mail out. I'm going to be giving out, the pastor's going to be giving out fresh, crisp Ben Franklin $100 bills. I wonder how many of our people would have showed up this morning. I guarantee some of them wouldn't have been quite near as tired. I guarantee they'd have set the alarm clock a little bit earlier. Huh? Say amen right there. I think it's a matter of priority. Huh? Well, it's the fellowship is exhorting. And then number four and last, the future is exciting. Can I make this statement? The church has a future. The church has a future, and I might add an eternal future, an exciting future, an elevated future. We're leaving here. Praise God. They tell you at the doorstep, do you not know the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth? I said, I know the Bible says that and I know who it was written to. And you can have this earth. I'm leaving. You can have it. In fact, you can have 176 Holston Terrace Drive or any street, you can have it, friend. You can have my dogs. You can have my guns. You can have it all. I'm out of here. Amen. I'm leaving. The future is exciting. As so much the more as you see, I believe that means as you see suggests that you ought to be able, through the Bible, be able to note that we are approaching this day, that we can see the coming of the Lord drawing nigh. How many of us see that? He said, as you see the day approaching. He wouldn't have said that if you can't see it. We can see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. Does it have an effect on our life? The future is exciting. Amen. The church has a future. We're leaving. And I tell you what church ought to be. Church ought to be a place where we're getting ready. A church ought to be a place, my friend, where we get a little taste of heaven. When God comes in behind these closed doors and walks among us and manifests Himself and speaks to us and lets us feel His presence and see His glory, that's just a little small fraction of how it's going to be when we get to glory. Well, I've been in some services, I'm telling you, if it got much better, Brother Darrell, they'd have just had to dug a hole and notified the next of kin. Because I'm telling you, I about left here. It got so good and got so high and got so glorious. But that's just a taste. That's just a taste. Amen. I never have got that feeling out yonder in the woods. And I like hunting. I love hunting. But I've never had that in the woods. I've never had that fishing. I've never had that at a ball game. I never have. And I'm not against none of that. I'm just saying the church, buddy, is a place where we should be getting ready and prepared. Listen, we're going to be worshiping heaven. Is that not what we're supposed to be doing here? Amen. If you can't worship here, what makes you think you're going to worship there? Amen. I'm glad salvation is of the Lord, because if salvation was of people, as unfaithful as a lot of people are to church, they'd never make it to heaven. They'd never make it to heaven. Amen. But the future is exciting. The church is not going under. The church is not going down. The church is going up, and the church is going out. I'm glad to be a part of the house of God. Faithfulness. Our whole life's built on it. Just don't exclude the things of God in it. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray today that God, You'd speak to hearts. Dear Lord, speak to hearts about their faithfulness. Lord, I want to thank You for those that are faithful. Lord, I want them to know from the Scripture this morning that they're doing right, that they're doing the will of God, that I notice, that I'm blessed by it, that others are exhorted by it. And I want to thank You for their faithfulness. And Lord, You take note of that, I'm sure. But Lord, our Father, we have some that, Lord, are struggling in that area. And so I pray today that You will help them to, Lord, realize what it is that's pulling their heart away from the things of God. Their heart, their devotion, their dedication is being pulled away from the things of God. I pray they'll deal with whatever that is this morning. Take their spirituality to be their own responsibility. Lord, have Your will and Your way this morning. Speak to our hearts and we'll love You for it. And we'll thank You for it. And thank You, Lord, for the church. Thank God this morning for the church. Lord, I appreciate God when You saved me, put me in the church. Lord, in the church and put me in a church. I thank You for that. Lord, I appreciate it. And I'd ask God that You'd drive home this truth. Lord, as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, there's going to be more pressure to miss church. There's going to be more opportunities to miss church. There's going to be more excuses to missing church. And I pray that we'll just not give any room for excuses, and we'll not search for any reasons, but we'll just say, Lord, I'm going to the house of God.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.